You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
What is up? The Paul Feinbaum Show here on ESPN Radio. We got drama all across the top four of college football. We have maybe the most underrated sporting event to attend in person of the entire calendar year taking place this weekend, and I'm going to make the case for it. We got a great lineup of guests. We're going to talk to Chris Vanini, Bill Bender, Ryan McGee, Brandon Marcello. We're going to talk college football. Why are Colorado and Texas A&M? I got to get the right subject verb conjugation there. Why is Colorado and Texas A&M, why are they identical this year? What makes them the same? Aside from being former members of the Big 12, what makes them the same? We got a whole lot of stuff. We got new athletic director searches at Iowa and USC. We got a whole lot of stuff going on. My name is Braden Gall, filling in for Paul, obviously. Jim in Tuscaloosa, much to the chagrin of Jim in Tuscaloosa. Now, last time I filled in a couple weeks ago, I said, Jim, I want to hear from you, dude. I need to talk to you, buddy. Please call me. He never called. Not one time he didn't call. I take that as a sign that he's completely and utterly scared of the competition. But now I'm just worried. So if we don't talk to Jim today, if Jim doesn't take time out of his day to call me and tell me how terrible I am, I will be concerned for his well-being. We might need to send somebody to the house. So, Jim, I hope to hear from you, my man. Braden Gall here in for Paul here on ESPN Radio, 855-242-7285. You guys know the number. You know the drill. We're going to talk college ball the entire time. And here's where I got to start. I got to start with you Big Ten football coaches. Come on in here for a fireside chat. You might actually need some fire because apparently you are afraid of the cold in the Big Ten. What are we talking about? Pete Thamel, great story, ESPN.com. About the unfinished nature of the Big Ten television contract. We're not going to get into all the details about how Kevin Warren promised the 2026 Big Ten championship game to two different television partners when he didn't have the authority to do so. So we're not going to get into that. But one of the most important and interesting nuggets in the story by Pete Thamel is that Big Ten coaches and administrators, in particular at Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan, were, number one, surprised that they might have to play night games in November. I don't know about you. I was born in Madison, Wisconsin. I was raised in a Big Ten family. I went to an SEC school, so I kind of love both of them. But I've heard all along in my career from all you Big Ten folks out there that the SEC is scared to come play in the weather. You were the SEC don't come up here and play, and they don't come play in Happy Valley in November at night. It's the weather. They're too afraid of the weather, the South. The SEC, Clemson, Florida State, and the ACC, they're all afraid of the weather. We're scared of a little cold to play ball in. Well, apparently Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan are afraid of the cold too because they don't want to play night games in November. And here's what's crazy about all this. It actually should be the time that those schools should be scheduling night games. It's all baked into the NBC contract because NBC is going to carry Big Ten primetime games, they get that night slot, right? And as a part of paying hundreds of millions of dollars to the Big Ten, they, of course, are going to want to have premier matchups in that time slot. They want the big brands. They want Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. Those three teams compete for championships. They compete for playoff spots. You know what else they're competing for, those three teams? hosting playoff games in December when it's going to be cold in Ann Arbor and Columbus and Happy Valley. In fact, if you are a Big Ten fan, I would be upset at my team not wanting to play these night games in November, because it is an advantage for you in the Big Ten to play in the cold weather. It could be an advantage if you weren't scared of it. And it, I could not believe my eyes. Big Ten coaches and administrators, first of all, surprised that they had to play the games. You signed the contract. You made the deal. You signed the contract. You can't complain about a deal that you signed. If you didn't know what was in it, that's your fault. But to not want to play games at night in the cold weather, to give yourself the advantage, the preparation for hosting playoff games in December, because remember, first-round playoff games happen in December, right? If I'm a Penn State fan, I want to be hosting a playoff game in Happy Valley in front of 110,000 people at night, people going bonkers. That would be how we have an advantage over whatever team we're playing in that game, especially one from the South. So if I'm a fan of the Big Ten, I am upset at the coaches for not wanting to do this more. Plus, football just looks great under the lights. Let's be honest. College football, especially in those three stadiums, with, you know, throw in Camp Randall, you know, throw in Michigan State, throw in Kinnick Stadium at Iowa, like, football just looks great under the lights. Let's just be honest. And if it's a little chilly late November, all that does is prepare you for a playoff game in December potentially, and now you're telling me the Big Ten coaches are scared of the cold at night. I couldn't believe it. I thought for years, the SEC, they won't ever play north of the Mason-Dixon line. They're scared of the cold. Yeah, it turns out you are too. I couldn't believe it. I truly could not believe it. 855-242-7285. 855-242-7285. Again, one of the things that I'm most frustrated by, Braden Gall in for Paul, I want to hear from you guys today. We're going to talk so much college football today. But one of the things that I am so utterly frustrated by with the new playoff, and it's just not going to change, is, of course, the bowl games hosting a couple of these sites. But not those first four. At least they were generous enough to throw us college football fans and us college football campuses and these beautiful communities and these beautiful fan bases and these beautiful stadiums. They threw us a bone and said, look, we'll give you the first four games. And again, if I'm a Wisconsin fan, I'm probably not going to win and be a top four seed very often. If I'm an Iowa fan or a Michigan State fan, like, I'm not talking about Ohio State. I'm talking about maybe the third tier. You're probably your best chance to make the playoff, and this is true of Arkansas, this is true of Ole Miss, Kentucky, this is true of Oklahoma State, Wake Forest, Louisville, North Carolina, teams that are not those A-listers, those blue bloods that win championships. Their best chance at making the playoff and having an extremely memorable and potential victory is going to be to host a playoff game in the first round, which is basically to finish essentially 5 through 8 in the playoff rankings. And again, if I'm a Wisconsin fan, again, born in Madison, Wisconsin, my father raised me. He's a huge Wisconsin fan. I went to an SEC school, so I've kind of broken from the family trust there. But what does Wisconsin have as an advantage over an Ole Miss, let's say, in a playoff matchup? Playing in the cold, playing in Camp Randall in the middle of November should be an advantage for Wisconsin. They should be playing at night at Camp Randall. It's great. It's awesome. Yeah. So listen, there's a lot of weird things that Kevin Warren did as the commissioner of the Big Ten. As his tenure has gone on, it feels like we have changed our evaluation of his accomplishments. At first, it was what a total mess. And then he went and got USC and UCLA because of the COVID stuff and how they handled it. And while I give him a little bit of benefit of doubt for that, we then sort of had to say, all right, look, he signed $1 billion worth of TV contracts. He went and got USC and UCLA. You got to give him credit. And then he dipped out, and he's off to the NFL, to the Bears. Now we're looking at this TV contract, according to, again, Pete Thamel, ESPN.com, that none of the long-form contract has been finished, really. It's going to get finished. I'm not concerned about that. But not playing night games for your TV partner, because of what? Some allowances by the conference in the past because teams didn't want to play at night in the Big Ten? I don't know. Seems kind of soft to me. 855-242-7285. 855-242-7285. You can get to me on Twitter, @BradenGall. Of course, on the Twitter machine as well if you want to tell me how terrible my takes are there. We do appreciate it. Coming up this hour, Chris Vanini going to join us. Of course, all the conference expansion that's going on. Going to have a lot of fun with him. Bill Bender going to join us. Ryan McGee, brand new book out. Welcome to the Circus, about a single-A baseball summer in 1994 in Asheville, North Carolina. Great. Obviously, you guys know Ryan McGee pretty well, so going to have fun with him. Brandon Marcello going to join us as well a little bit later on. I've got I could not believe that I have a Colorado-Texas A&M comparison to make, but we're going to do that. And we have the top three teams in America. Top three teams in America all dealing with massive drama as we head into the middle of talking season, with Media Day is just right around the corner. Braden Gall in for Paul, 855-242-7285. What is the latest in realignment? What is the latest in athletic director drama? We will do all of that next right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. This is ESPN Radio.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio, 855-242-7285. We will have time for your phone calls, obviously, coming up in just a second. And we have a development in the Jim from Tuscaloosa situation. We've got a development. We're going to have to explain, pull back the curtain a little bit. Braden Gall in for Paul here. You can get to me on Twitter at Braden Gall. So we'll explain coming up in just a minute. Chris Vanini joining us here, of course, senior writer from The Athletic, at Chris Vanini on the Twitter machine there. Chris, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
I am doing well. Looking forward to the weekend. Thanks for having me.
Well, I really don't want to talk about, like, bizarre office place behavior by athletic directors or – you know, Nepo baby Twitter posts or, you know, players speeding in Georgia. So I'm going to skip all of that with you, Chris, and go right to the thing that we all can't stop talking about, which, of course, is realignment. You've been reporting on this for a long time in various different ways. Let me just ask you one very broad question. What is the next thing that happens in all of this in college football?
Well, it's all waiting for the Pac-12 to figure out its TV deal. That's something we thought was going to happen by the end of last year, and then it was going to happen in the spring, and now we're kind of toward the summer, and it still hasn't happened, and that is the first thing that needs to happen. And if the number is good enough, the per school, you know, payout, the Pac-12 stays together. They either don't add anybody or they add one or two schools. If the number is really poor and they can't figure it out, they could lose a handful of schools to potentially the Big 12. I still think it's likely they get a good enough number and stick together, but with every passing month, I get less and less confident in that. If the Pac-12 stays together, I think the first thing they do is add San Diego State. They're there in Southern California. They're very good football and men's basketball programs. They've got a brand new stadium, expanding campus. There's a lot to like there. But San Diego State's just been kind of sitting and waiting for the Pac-12 to get that done, and the Big 12 is interested too. So, you know, coming up on July 1st, there's a deadline that will double the San Diego State exit fee if it leaves early from the Mountain West. So things kind of got to start coming together, and I don't know if there's an end date yet as this keeps dragging on.
I mean, I understand the complications in the TV negotiations, but why not just add him now? Like, why not add him before and bake it into the contract the way, you know, the Big Ten has done with, let's say, I don't know, Washington and Oregon, potentially?
That is, I think, one thing people thought they might do. At one point in time, they thought that might happen first. But I think at this point, you're so far along in the negotiations that you thought you might be done with them by now. Or, again, San Diego State may want to wait and see what the conference looks like. The TV companies may not want to commit to certain things if the Pac-12 isn't going to look like what it ends up look like. So the TV deal is really the foundation of everything. The Big Ten was not going to split up. You know, the Big Ten could do its deal, and you've got some elevator clauses and stuff like that to work for that. The TV deal is what keeps the Pac-12 together or blows it up. So I think that's one of the reasons why that has to happen first.
Chris Vanini joining us here, of course, from The Athletic. And you look at the top three schools, potentially the top three schools in whatever preseason ranking you want to see. You could, I mean, Georgia, Michigan, USC, pretty good guess at the top three, potentially, when it's all said and done, we enter the season in the fall. But all three are dealing with bizarro off-the-field stuff in various different ways. I guess the broader question is, like, can you be an elite program in college football and avoid this stuff, or is it just baked into the job, essentially?
I don't think it's baked into the job. I mean, the schools are all dealing with very different issues. I mean, at Georgia, you've got what I think is clearly a problem of players reckless driving and speeding in those situations, which resulted in the death of some people earlier this year, yet it still seems to happen. Players speed at every school. You look up any local, you know, police reports and you'll see that. But to the level that it seems to be happening, to the seriousness that seems to be happening involving Georgia players, is very concerning. Michigan, it's a bunch of different things. You hired Bo Schembechler's kid when you shouldn't have, and you deal with that. You've got a coach doing something, computer crimes, accessing emails, and USC's hiring an athletic director probably shouldn't have hired and has a questionable past in the way he conducts himself with the culture. So it's very different. I don't think necessarily you have to deal with that to succeed, but I do think it's true that a lot more of this kind of stuff happens everywhere than people would like to expect. I mean, that was something someone just reached out to me and said yesterday. It was regarding the Mike Bone thing. They were like, you'd probably be surprised how common stuff like this happens in other places, and it's a problem.
Well, and Chris, it's interesting because, like, even going back to Pete Carroll, certainly some different rules with Reggie Bush. Like, nobody cares about paying players now, but, like, there seems to be – is it just the spotlight that comes with it? I mean, obviously we can rattle off the long list of things that Urban Meyer has dealt with at variety of places in his career, but, like, Dabo's program has been relatively clean, I guess, at Clemson. Saban has had his moments, but it does feel like it's – I guess I'm trying to understand, like, over the course of history, can you do it perfectly and cleanly? And I don't know if you can.
It kind of depends on what those definitions are. I think you're right that the spotlight comes more on these schools because of where they are. Like I said, they're all varying levels of seriousness in issues in terms of what they are. Whether it's NCAA rules, you're talking back to Pete Carroll days, or some of the more serious stuff that USC has had to deal with, such as various complaints within different departments. That's like a university-wide issue that they've had there for a while. The Varsity Blues scandal, where rich people's kids were getting in as fake athletes. That happened at USC, but it happened at a lot of schools too. So I think all these issues are more a statement of college athletics and kind of how they work, as opposed to maybe more than specifically to the schools.
Well, let's talk about some fun stuff then. Actual football. Chris Vanini joining us here from The Athletic. And I find the conference races, maybe outside of Georgia in the SEC, but basically the rest of them seem incredibly wide open. Even the middles of these conferences seem healthy and balanced and competitive. If I could tell you, you could only watch one conference this year, but you get to watch every team in it, every game that they play, but you had to pick one. Which conference do you think is the most interesting week in and week out?
The Pac-12, hands down. Like, the quarterback talent in this league this year is going to be unreal. You've got Caleb Williams, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, Cam Rising, DJ Uiagalelei. Jaden DeLore at Arizona. You've got some new quarterbacks at some of these other schools. And plus, you've got Deion Sanders there doing whatever he's going to do. So, like, to me, I think the Pac-12 top to bottom is by far going to be the most interesting league. And it's going to start with the talent that they have on offense, especially at the quarterback position. And, you know, last year it was the only conference that, well, I guess with the Big 12, but it had gotten rid of divisions. And so that opens up the conference race a lot more. A lot more teams can be in the mix at the end of the year because you don't need to necessarily win your division. And so I think you look at USC's schedule this year, which will be a lot tougher. I think the Pac-12 is going to be super exciting. And I may not get all of those games on Pac-12 Network, as happened last year, and who knows what the future of the conference is, but I think this is going to be a really, really strong year for the Pac-12 again. We'll just have to see if they knock themselves out of the playoff again or not.
Never mind existing in the future or being able to watch the games. It is absolutely, I agree with you. It is one of the, it's probably the most interesting conference to watch. You mentioned Colorado with Deion. How is that going to end, man? Like, is it like they're going to be good? He's obviously changing things up, and it's a calculation that the administration has made to become relevant very, very quickly, and it has worked so far. How is it going to end, though?
Ooh, I think it either ends with him doing a very good job and leaving for a SEC type of job, or it fails spectacularly and the roster is completely just wrecked for a long period of time. I mean, I'm very curious, and a lot of coaches and people I talk to as well are curious. How is he going to handle when they start the season like 1-5 or something like that? How is he going to be able to handle that when you're not just the shiny new thing anymore and you've got potentially some one-sided losses on your roster? Because he has improved the talent there, no doubt, but there's still not a lot of depth. There's not much in the trenches. And if Shador gets hurt, which is always possible in this sport, especially when you don't have a good offensive line, what happens to Colorado? You wonder early on, are schools going to try to make a statement, potentially run up the score on them, just to kind of counteract the noise that Deion's making in recruiting? We'll see. That's going to be the big question. That's the reason. That's one of the reasons he didn't get a bigger job than Colorado, is because people need to see how he handles when things aren't going the right way. There were some, you know, his first game at Jackson State, he comes in the locker room or comes in the press conference and complaining that stuff was stolen out of the locker room. He had just kind of some weird things that have happened. So he's doing everything he was hired to do so far. The season tickets, the spring game attendance, the money, it's all happening. Yep. That's been a success. But we always knew this first season especially was going to not be great. So when that's happening, how is he handling the press conferences? How is he handling potentially some decommits from some players and stuff like that? That's what we got to see, and that's what I'm fascinated to see how he handles.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Chris Finini, The Athletic, he's done everything he's been hired to do. They're relevant. They're interesting. People care. But, like, is he going to out-scheme Kyle Whittingham? Is he sitting up late at night drawing up plays to, like, out-scheme Kyle Whittingham's defense? I don't think so, you know?
Right. And at Jackson State, he had the most talented team because he was able to sign really good players and get some transfers. That's not going to be the case in the Pac-12, where he still has probably one of the worst rosters in that conference, and it will take a number of years for that to change.
Chris, always a pleasure, man. You guys do great work up there. You can check them out at The Athletic. Go subscribe, pay for good journalism. Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Chris Vanini there from The Athletic. Yeah, I am fascinated by Deion. I think it's a calculated risk. I think it's we are all going to watch it unfold in real time. But how's it going to end? How's it going to end? That is the question. 855-242-7285. We'll continue talking college football. Take your calls as well. More Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We have a developing situation with Jim in Tuscaloosa, my main man. Braden Gall in for Paul, 855-242-7285. We'll get to your calls here momentarily. But apparently, Jim has made an appearance, but is too scared to come on the air with me. So we'll explain coming up momentarily. And he's taking shots at my producers, my crew, my guys. I don't know, man. I don't know. This is not going to fly. This unchecked aggression, man, will not stand. At Braden Gall, 855-242-7285 here on the Paul Finebaum Show, ESPN Radio. Bill Bender from Sporting News. Welcome to the show, Bill. How are you, sir?
Hey, I don't know if it scores points, but I get the Lebowski reference. I'm all good there. Good to talk to you. How you doing?
No, major points. Greatest movie ever made, unequivocally. It's not an opinion. It's a fact. It's science. You had a column, and I started the show talking about the Big Ten coaches somehow being surprised that night games in November would be in the contract that their university signed, but also that like they're just scared of playing night games, even though it would be extremely beneficial. You wrote a column, of course, on Sporting News about how the night games for the Big Ten will be good, but it'll take some adjustment time. We're going to be playing playoff games in December, and hopefully some of these teams are going to get some of those games at home. Wouldn't it be beneficial for the Big Ten to do this as much as possible?
I just think it's part of the tradition, and I grew up in Central Ohio, and you know, Ohio State didn't start playing night games at home until the 1980s. You know, Michigan played their first night home game in 2011. Ohio State's only played 10 home games against Big Ten opponents at night. So I think the point I made and the adjustment for people that grew up in this part of the country, it will be, it's not a special occasion anymore. It'll be more of an obligation. And you're right, as we get into November and the NBC deal and the college football playoff expansion, these night games will be good for the campus. But like I said, if you're asked 8 out of 10, I bet you've asked 10 Big Ten fans what their favorite window is. More would say either 3:30 or noon than they would the primetime window.
And I agree with that. I was born in Madison. I was raised in a Big Ten family. I went to an SEC school. But, like, where is Penn State harder to beat? At noon in Happy Valley or at 8 o'clock in Happy Valley? It's clearly 8 o'clock.
At Ford Field, maybe. That will be tougher to beat next year. That's part of this kind of the selling point. But to your point, yeah, I mean, Madison at night is amazing. You know, Kinnick Stadium at night is amazing.
Right.
What wasn't amazing last year was Ohio State playing Toledo and winning 77-21. Now, SEC schools have been doing that for years, right? So I think that's the adjustment we'll have to make. At the end of the day, it's football. We'll enjoy it. But like you said, if you grew up in Big Ten country, you know that we're slow to adjust to change, aren't we?
It's that Big Ten speed. Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State feels like a pretty clear top three in the Big Ten. Again, on paper in May, I get it. But Michigan has this thing over Ohio State, even though we can still look at Ohio State and say, oh, probably a more dynamic roster, certainly a more dynamic offense. Penn State is sneaky, sneaky good, but needs its quarterback to come along quickly. What do you make of the three-team race in the Big Ten, again, in the middle of May?
Well, I'm wondering it's in May. I mean, I'm wondering if this is starting to feel like the mid to late 90s where you start to wonder whose turn it is. It's no longer just Ohio State and everybody else. I mean, Michigan's made their point with back-to-back Big Ten championships. They've got probably the best backfield in the nation with Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum and J.J. McCarthy. That's not an overstatement, I don't think. And they've got some other nice pieces. Ohio State's got the most frontline first-round talent, starting with Marvin Harrison. And then for Penn State, I was talking to a station there the other day, and this is the most excitement they've had around a roster since 1999 when they had LeVar Arrington and Courtney Brown, and with Drew Aller on top of it. It's on them to go out and beat Ohio State and Michigan. James Franklin's done a lot of wonderful things there, but over the last 9 years, they have a 4-14 combined record against the Wolverines and Buckeyes.
Bill Bender joining us here, Paul Feinbaum Show. Braden Gall in for Paul from Sporting News. And Michigan, I mean, there's been a couple of things, obviously, that have taken place off the field lately that make Michigan look highly questionable. But I just looking at the offense and their matchup with a program like Georgia, maybe Georgia is evolving a la Nick Saban in Alabama at some point. Who knows? But Ohio State sort of showed us the formula for the matchup with Georgia is better than maybe the formula that Michigan wants to present. Styles make fights. Is J.J. McCarthy enough of an evolution offensively for Michigan to finally get over that final hurdle of whoever they're going to face in a championship situation? Because you could argue they're the best team in the country on paper, but it doesn't feel like people like the matchup against a team like Georgia.
Well, and it starts in the trenches, and then I think on the perimeter. In some ways, Michigan reminds me of those Notre Dame teams that got to the playoff, and you would hear Brian Kelly afterwards say, well, we didn't have enough firepower on the perimeter to beat these teams. So, I mean, if there's a question mark on the roster, it's who's going to step up and be those receivers. We know they love throwing to the tight ends, but when they get up against Georgia or in Alabama and the secondary that those teams have had, they've had some problems. And, I mean, you've seen those games. When Alabama or Georgia has played Michigan in a bowl game, it's tight for a while, and then Alabama in the one bowl game, I think it's Capital One Citrus Bowl, they had three or four guys take over. And Najee Harris and Jerry Jeudy, those type guys. So, you know, for Michigan, I think now the pressure isn't just to win the Big Ten or beat Ohio State. It's to go to the playoff and beat an SEC powerhouse. And they may get another shot to do that this year. Like you said, Ohio State has that frontline NFL talent to make it really interesting when they play those schools.
Bill Bender joining us here. All right, you get one conference. I'm fascinated by all the races in college football, and I just asked our last guest about this. You get one conference you can watch this year. You can only watch one. You cannot watch any others, but you get every game, every team in that league for the entirety of the year. Which one are you watching?
I'll take the Big Ten off the table because I'd pick that anyway since I'm just biased toward it, I guess. But I'd still pick the SEC. I still think there's a lot of intrigue in the SEC West with LSU. I want to see where they go with Jaden Daniels and BK in year two. I want to see what Texas A&M does with Bobby Petrino and Connor Wigman. He had a great start or a great finish to last year. I want to see what happens with Georgia and Tennessee. And Tennessee, what's the sequel to their breakout last year? I mean, we did our coach rankings this week. I had Josh Heupel 10, and I feel great about it because of that quarterback-friendly offense, everything they got going on in Knoxville. So, and you also like to see the schools that kind of flame out and don't do well. So I would still pick the SEC because it's the best collection of coaches, the best collection of NFL talent, and, you know, where this Alabama-Georgia thing goes from here.
Bill, always a pleasure, man. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, you too. Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
Absolutely. Bill Bender there from the Sporting News. I do think the middle class of the SEC is healthier than it's ever been. I don't think we've ever had this much quality. And it's always the best. It's always been the best conference, guys. It's just it's not really a debate. But a lot of fans will, outside of the region, say, oh, it's because they're the best at the top. No. Like, Missouri could be an 8-win team, and they're going to be picked, like, 14th. Or no, 13th, probably. They'll probably be picked ahead of Vanderbilt. I'm holding the Athlon Sports preseason magazine right here in my hand. Missouri is picked 13th out of 14th. They could win 8 games this year. This is the deepest and healthiest this conference has ever been. How about this? Every single fan base is happy right now in May. When has that ever happened in the SEC? Frankly, it's terrifying to me. It means that something just insanely ridiculous is going to happen in this conference that we cannot predict. Because nobody can – we can't have 14 happy fan bases in the SEC. That's not allowed. That's not normal. Finally, we get to your phone calls, 855-242-7285. Jim, dude, come on, brother. My name's Braden Gall. This is ESPN Radio, the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
855-242-7285. Braden Gall in for Paul. So Jim in Tuscaloosa, he doesn't like me. That's cool. I'm honored by that. I asked him to call in last time I hosted a couple weeks ago. Basically, he was scared. He never called in. And then I said, hey, dude, I want to hear from you today. I'm worried about you. Let's send somebody to the house. Just make sure everything's okay. Well, he calls in, and he berates my producer, dog cusses my producer out. And then he tells me that I am unfit for radio, and of course compares me to Peter Burns, which is an honor in my mind. If you know, Peter Burns is down there in Hoover eating mud bugs right now. Like, I'm jealous of him, not the other way around. So I mean, listen, obviously is scared to come on the air with me. Clearly terrified. Jim, come on, dude, come on. 855-242-7285. Peggy from Hartford. Peggy, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hello.
How are you?
Look, I am good. How are you? This is, I didn't know who I was talking to, so I done a brief little, you know, Google to find out who you was. And honored to talk to you. But you know what? There's so many things to talk about. But this Jim situation, oh my goodness. I was just going to be listening because I got so much going on down here with the Memorial Weekend, and we've got a big fat family reunion coming up, but I heard the Jim story, and, you know, Jim refers to me as Piggy. Apparently, he can't say Peggy. He said Piggy, and he ordered me, he said, for me not to call back. Said my calls was boring, you know, because I reckon, I mean, I don't know what his problem is with me. He said grannies need to be sitting on their porch watering flowers.
Hey, sitting on the porch looking at fire
flowers. Yeah, tell Jim I did water my flowers after I got home from the Stevie Nicks concert. I'm still, you know, hearing her, so I don't really have much time to deal with him. I thought he was older than me, but I found out he's the age of my son. So he needs a hickory. And, you know, if he wants to tell me, the simple fact he told me not to call back, oh, I'll call back every week now, Jim.
Thank you,
Brandon.
Thank you, Peggy. I appreciate it. Listen. If y'all want to make this about Jim, that's fine. I just am worried about the guy, you know? 855-242-7285. Mark from Huntsville. Mark, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Mark?
Well, first of all, I don't care about Jim. I'm a big Bama fan, but Jim doesn't represent the Alabama family, really. He's an outcast. He never played football. I played college football, but I didn't play at Alabama. But the reason I called, I had to pull off the road in Huntsville about 30 minutes ago. I had somebody on said that Georgia's won, and I would agree with that. Started talking about USC and Michigan. I didn't even hear Alabama, so I figured Coach Saban probably needs to, you know, maybe we don't need to play this year. I just think it's setting up so well for an Alabama defensive team, you know, that I got to see some practices this spring, and I've seen him back in 2011. 12 was probably their best defensive team. Not being talked about a lot, but they are loaded defensively. Yep. I mean, they are. And Kevin Steele, by the way, I was going to mention to you, I think you probably remember this, that when Auburn beat Alabama, it was when Steele was the defense coordinator there. He's just tough nosed, you know. So, but hey, reason I called real quick is Nick Saban was quoted in 2021. And Wes Neighbors, who owns 97.7, which is the affiliate that carries Paul Feinbaum Show, Wes Neighbors, who played in Alabama, played a a clip from 21 where Nick Saban has said that we're not going to take any portal players unless there's somebody, unless we won't take them unless that player is better than somebody that we got. And I mean, I promise you, they got the quote. I don't know if y'all can find it, but I mean, if we can find it here in Huntsville, you guys nationally can find that quote. But Nick, I heard it, and I'm thinking, oh my God, that means that Nick Saban, if he says what he means, it means what he says. It means the quarterback in Alabama will be the Notre Dame transfer.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point, Mark. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Tyler Buchner, of course, the Notre Dame transfer, played with Tommy Reese, the new coordinator, of course. Here's the argument against Bama, and I would have Bama top five in my preseason top ranking. So it's, you know, what an insult to Alabama football to be number five in the preseason instead of number one or two. Here are the facts though about Alabama, is that they have more questions at quarterback than they've had in years. They're coming off one of their quote unquote worst seasons. They were two plays away from 12-0, but they were also a couple plays away from four or five losses. This is one of the quote-unquote worst rosters we've seen under Nick Saban in the last 5 or 6 years. And that's all probably stuff Nick Saban wants to hear me say. Like, Nick Saban wants people like me and everyone else in the media to say all this stuff. That is the rat poison. Alabama, to me, is one of the top two or three teams in America. But a lot of other teams are gaining ground on that top tier, and they have an extremely difficult schedule. And at the number one most important position, we don't know what they are. They might be great, but we don't know what they are. So I think that is why, for the first time ever, we look at Alabama with more question marks in May before we go to SEC Media Days than ever before. Doesn't mean they're not going to figure those questions out by even just training camp or week two. I mean, but this team has not been the same on the road as it has been at home the last few years. This is not a dynasty is over conversation. These are just sort of facts about the team right now today. By week one, we could have answers to all these questions. Quarterback position could be figured out. I think the coordinators could both be upgrades in theory. So, like, there's plenty to love about this team. They're preseason top five, like, no question. But I don't think they're one, two, or three. I think they're maybe four or five. They're kind of with Ohio State in that group. I would have Georgia and Michigan one and two. I'd have USC at number three. That's just my personal opinion. 855-242-7285, 855-242-7285. 8-5, more of your calls. Ryan McGee, new book, Southern romance novelist for Southern Sports. We'll talk to him next. Braden Gall, this is the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio.